While you're turning to those places, thank you again to the ones that helped Thursday night with the jury. It's been a tremendous help. Thank you very much. And we have to have a little sermonette here, see if we can get a couple to repent. Brother Mattingly's are going to Florida this week, right? Okay. Anybody can recall what was south of the city of Jerusalem? What was that place called south of the city of Jerusalem where they dumped all the garbage and burned everything? What was that called? Gehenna. And heaven's north of here, right? So the Mattinglys are going south. So they're going further away from heaven, right? Well, I'm glad they have that opportunity. Probably going to go see if anything's left down there, right? Is anything left of yours down there? Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 23, and then Luke chapter 8. Okay, these are the two accounts of the parable of the sower and the seed. We're not going to read them all. But Mark 4:23 is like the PS on the sower and the seed. A little added information. Mark 4:23, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Take heed what ye hear. Be careful what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Okay, then Luke chapter 8. Luke 8 verse 11. This is the interpretation of the sower and the seed. Luke 8 verse 11. This is the Lord tells the parable or the story from verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And then 9, the disciples ask him, what's that mean? In verse 11, he says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Common expression, I see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whatsoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the two statements that you made about what we listen to. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to see what you're telling us to do and be cautious about not only what we hear, but how we hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in the Mark 4, he says, Jesus Christ said, take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. In Luke, if he made another statement, and Luke has recorded the other statement, but in Luke it says, take heed therefore how you hear. Implying the motives of your hearing or what you're hearing. So those are the two statements. Now, the parable of the sower of the seed, if you look at it from a spiritual application, which is about the only way you can look at it, from our perspective, it's sowing the seed, chapter 8, verse 11, describes or tells you what the seed is, and that's the word of God. Okay, right now I'm sowing the seed. Now, the recipients of hearing the Word of God, you're going to deal with one of four types of people. Any parts of your life, one of four types of people. When you give out truth or what, anything, any truth, when you give that out, the recipients are going to be one of four types of people. And in Luke 8, verse 12, your seed falls by the wayside. It's along the side of the highway. When you give that truth out and the person does not understand it, when they do not understand it, then the devil takes it out of their heart. For example, if you have the opportunity to speak up the gospel, about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you give that gospel presentation in an intellectual fashion, use some big flowing words, and the person looks at you, and you say, do you understand? And they say, yeah, but yet you can look in their eyeballs that they don't understand. I mean, late afternoon, we went, we knock on doors down there in our area down in Rensselaer before church. I know it's a very short time we're able to do it, probably 45 minutes tops. This last week we went to Roselawn area. There's a trailer park there, Roselawn, right there along 65. And I'm talking to some people, and I'm looking at them talking, and they're Hispanic, you can tell, but then when you're talking to them, they look at you like, what are you saying? And so my very bad memory of my Spanish in the past would say, no hablo inglés? And they'd go, no. And then I'd say, Jesus Cristo, you know, try to tell them this is about Jesus Christ. And one guy said, Catholic? And I said, no. But there were four trailers. I'd knock two of them like that. They couldn't speak English. Nobody could speak English in there. A lot of them are the employees of the dairy farms down there. You can tell when people understand. Look in their eyes. Now, when you give the gospel, Paul said, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. Talk clearly. Make sure you don't try to impress people with your intellect. Tell them the gospel story as if you're telling it to a 6-year-old kid. Now, I'm not saying you have to talk that way, but your words, make sure they understand it. If you tell somebody the gospel or some type of truth and they do not understand it, when you walk away, an unclean spirit is going to take it right out of their heart, and you have just talking to the wind. You're not getting anything accomplished. Make certain people understand what you're saying. Okay, that's the first group in verse 12. People that do not understand. They don't understand. The next group is verse 13, is somebody who does understand, and they're immediately thrilled with this new revelation. But because they got this new thought, this new truth, persecution comes or harassment, and immediately they dump it. That's the second group. When you get truth, people are not going to appreciate it. The news media was crying in their beer probably all day Wednesday because they were definitely not pleased with what happened on Tuesday. Well, it's obvious. Okay, they're 90% of them are liberal Democrats, the news media, and so they have been trying to manipulate, as they always try to manipulate the elections. Okay, and you cannot believe in the truth and be a conservative and move up the ranks of journalism. It just won't happen. So you're going to discover that, or people are going to discover that when you come up with truth, somebody isn't going to like it. And when they don't like it, a lot of people just shuck it. Forget it. I ain't going to deal with that. And that's the second group of people. Okay, the third group is verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. That's probably the largest group amongst the Christians. Not probably, it is. Where they hear the Bible truth, but they just kind of put it aside. I've got other things to do. You know, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, no, I got to do this at this time, so I really can't seek first the kingdom of God. He's going to have to be second this time around. Okay, that's the second. Now, the group that we pray that a person is in is verse 15. And that's when you have an honest and a good heart, and you accept the truth, and believe the word, keep the word, and you're trying to do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak up for him. That's all the Lord wants to do, is speak up for him. Now, it's the preacher's job or duty to sow the seed. It's the recipient's job to prepare your heart. Okay, when it's my turn to receive the word of God, it's my heart, it's my duty to prepare my heart. And then I want to receive it. Now, there's two statements in the Mark 14 or 4 passage. The Lord said, take heed what you hear. Take heed what you hear. Be careful what you hear. And the idea is that the more, if you're not careful what you hear, and if you do not shun lies and hypocrisy, once you discover it's lies and hypocrisies, if you continue to listen to it, you will become like it. You are what you eat, as they say, or you are what you listen to. That's why rock music is so powerful. People say, don't affect me, don't affect me. Don't affect me. It affects us all. I mean, that's why they play it constantly. Wherever you go, the stores, the restaurants, you know, you cannot block it out. If it's not affecting you personally, as far as you think it's not affecting your thinking process, it's desensitizing a person to the morals of this life, the morals of the Christian life. They're just trying to dull your senses. Take heed what you hear. Proverbs 14:15, it says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent looketh well to his going. A prudent man take heed to what he hears. He's cautious what he hears. A prudent man or a prudent lady is somebody who can remove the message from the messenger. You have to divorce those two things. I don't care. You see, if you cannot divorce the message from the messenger, if you like the messenger, you're going to be prejudiced to what he says. What's prejudice mean? You have a bias towards it. Prejudice, judging beforehand. Everybody's got prejudices. You know, people say, well, you're supposed to put aside your prejudices. Nobody puts aside their prejudices. They just exchange them. You know, you walk into the store and says, I want to buy some milk. Oh, we have chocolate milk. No, I want some milk. Well, we have chocolate milk. Are you prejudiced against the darker milk? No, I just like to drink the white milk, okay? Well, you need to put aside your differences. That's the way they are nowadays. We're all prejudiced. Biased. Okay, so you have to divorce your personal feelings toward the messenger and take the message apart from the messenger. If you dislike the messenger, then you're going to have a prejudice against his speaking, what he says. The thing is, you're supposed to accept what's truth, reject what is a lie, no matter who says it. You know, a lot of times in these things, the only ones that can... You see, a Bible believer has enough grace where I can sit down and listen to a liberal, to a fundamentalist, to a conservative, and I can dig up some truth in there somewhere. Now, they certainly don't want to talk to me. I mean, you haven't experienced this like I have, but a Bible-believing preacher, you know, a King James, you know, nut like myself, when we get around fundamental Baptist, and they've heard about me, and just know that my beliefs on the King James Bible, they do everything they possibly can to avoid talking to me. It's like I got AIDS or something. They've got AIDS. AIDS is an Alexandrian idiot degrading scripture. That's what that stands for, AIDS. But sometimes, you know, I will purposefully try to be in a certain situation so that they have to walk by me. And then the look on their face as they're talking to you, it's like, you know, they can't hide it. I mean, it's just phenomenal what goes on with these people. You know, there's some folks, you know, from the school I graduated from, Hiles Anderson, some folks there think I'm a heretic. Have, you know, branded me as a heretic and a cultist. And if I get around them, you know, it'd be kind of fun to watch them. But boy, they'll do everything they possibly can to stay away from you. But we have more in agreement than they think we do. Got the same Savior I've got. They got the same book I have. They just don't believe it like I do. They don't believe the whole thing. But you see, as far as this thing goes, we should be able to divorce the message from the messenger. When I speak something that you do not agree with and you say it's a lie and you got scripture to prove it, okay, then let it go in one ear and out the other is what I said. How many preachers have the security in the Word of God that they can say, get behind a pulpit and say, don't believe a word I say unless you can see it in the Bible for yourself? They don't say that. Because this book is our final authority right here. Acts 17, verse 11, it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. You know, God himself doesn't expect you and I to blindly follow him. Isn't that something? He said in Micah chapter 3, verse 8 or verse 10, he says, prove me. Prove me now herewith. God himself is telling people, why don't you check me out? Can you imagine that from coming from God? He is so secure in his beliefs. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. You see, we need to divorce the message from the messenger. Especially if you read a newspaper. Because they have an agenda. The news industry are trying to manipulate the thinking process, or lack thereof, of Americans. Probably one of the greatest services that Rush Limbaugh has done for this country is he's exposed the liberal thinking of the news industry. It's probably one of the biggest services he's done for this country. Okay, so the Lord says, take heed what you hear. Now, in Luke passage, it's something a little bit different. He says, take heed how you hear. It's a strange thing to say. Take heed how you hear. Implying the motive of our hearing. You would tend to think, okay, somebody studying the Bible, wouldn't that be good in itself? It depends. It depends. Somebody's quoting a Bible, isn't that good in itself? Well, the Word of God will not return void, but it depends of what their motive is. This Bible is so amazing that when a person reads this Bible, it reads them. And if a person has a preconceived idea where they are trying to justify their thinking, they're trying to find something in the Bible to see if God is as wise as them, where God agrees with them. Does God agree with my opinion? Okay, that's what some of these people do when they approach this Bible. And the Lord allows them to find it. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 17, verse 16. Some guy thinks that you have to be dunked in water to be saved. So he studies his Bible. He comes across Acts 2:38, and it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a person's quickly, a Gentile believer in America. A Gentile person in America reads Acts 2:38 talking about a Jewish man talking to Jewish people, and he says, God is so wise, he agreed with me. And then they take that verse, and that verse is going to take more people to hell than any verse in the Bible, Acts 2:38. Proverbs 17:16. It says, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? He doesn't care about wisdom. Why would an evolutionist read the Bible to justify himself? Or why he rejects reading the Bible to justify himself? Self-justification, self-glorification. It says in 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Some people study the Bible just to show you how smart they are. I know Greek. I know Hebrew. I've met some Greek people too, so what? Don't mean anything. I know some Spanish words. Wow. I know some Chinese words. Hallelujah, that's Chinese. Hallelujah, that's Greek. Hallelujah, that's Hebrew. Hallelujah, that's Spanish. You know, same word, all the languages. Big deal. People like to impress people with their intellect. What is our motive for studying this Bible? We should study that Bible in order to get to know truth, but why? To know truth is to know God. That's the motive. The Lord says, take heed how you hear. Studying this Bible, our motive for studying this Bible is so that we can know the truth, so that we can know God. And when we know what God thinks, then we are in closer fellowship with Him, and we think like Him. And the more you think like God, you're going to find out the more opposite you think than most people on earth. It's phenomenal. Take heed how you hear. If you would, look in Ezekiel chapter 14. This is so important. If a person approaches the Bible with his opinion about a subject, and you discover, the person discovers sincerely and honestly, the Bible shows that I was wrong. What are you going to do with it? Sometimes you're dealing with a couple Mormon boys, maybe you talk to a couple JWs, and people say, well, they're sincere in what they believe. I guess that would be good enough. First off, how do you know they're sincere? Could you read their brain? It's pretty small in some cases. Humility. How do you know somebody's humble? These are internal things. You cannot figure those things out. Humility, sincerity. Now, sincerity can be demonstrated, but it's going to take a little time. I believe if somebody grew up in the Watchtower cult, and that's what it is, JW, if they are truly sincere in what they believe, eventually they will leave. Charles Hood was a JW for 3 years, but he was a sincere JW. And after 3 years, he saw the inconsistencies going on, and he left. If my family, my parents were not sincere people, we would still be attending the Dutch Corner Church. But you see, their inconsistencies were exposed. And a sincere heart says, uh-oh, what am I going to do with this? Take heed how you hear. Take heed how you hear. And a sincere heart will leave an inconsistent situation or an inconsistent belief to accept the truth. Ezekiel 14, here's this something that shows how powerful this Bible is. Ezekiel 14, verse 1, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. Ezekiel 14, verse 2, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, comes on Ezekiel. So God is talking through Ezekiel. And he says, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? The Lord said, these guys already got their mind made up. What are they coming to you for? They don't care what I'm going to say. The Lord's reading the heart. Now, Ezekiel couldn't read the heart, but the Lord could. And so then, here's what the Lord said about that. Therefore, speak unto them, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the truth. It didn't say that, did it? According to the multitude of his idols. The Lord answers that man according to his personal opinion. That's what the Lord's going to do to them. Verse 5, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. There's the truth. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, that ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, who deceived him? It says, I, the Lord, did it. I, the Lord, did it. I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. When Benny Hinn looks in this Bible and he tries to find something so he can give a glorious message for the people that follow him around, the Lord gives him a message. Why? To deceive the man. And when that man hits the judgment, the Lord's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. The guy preaches a false gospel. And who's involved in that? The Lord gets involved with it. Romans chapter 11, the Lord gives us warnings about spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness is not limited to salvation. Spiritual blindness can happen to a saved person about other areas. I tell you, as far as the Bible-believing viewpoint versus the fundamental Baptist, there is getting a larger and larger gap between those two. I mean, it is spreading wider and wider. The so-called fundamental Baptists, who used to be strong on their music, now are stinking up to high heaven. And their messages are now like the charismatics were about 20 years ago. And the thing is what happens is, if you don't use the truth that God gives you, you lose it. Now, that's what Luke chapter 8 is talking about. If you would, go back to Luke 8. Why would the Lord reveal light to you and I? So that we can shelter it? So we can cover it up? He reveals light so that your light will shine, not cover it up. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. The follow-up ideas about the parable of the sower of the seed, and the ideas that you and I are to sow the seeds of the Word of God, is that no man, when he lighteth a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Okay, so the idea is, once the Lord gives you light, tell somebody else about it. Why hoard it? Now, I'm not saying that you have to be, that one right out in the front of everybody and preaching to everybody. I'm not saying that. But when people at work just talk about things, the events of the week, and they throw in their 2 cents, this guy throws in his 2 cents, okay, you throw in your 2 cents. Your 2 cents has some value behind it. Theirs is like the clad coins. Throw in what the Bible says. Throw in the truth about things. Expose the hypocrisy of what they believe. Expose the lies of what they believe. If we don't say something, God's given us light, do something with the light. Speak up for Jesus Christ. Speak up for the truth. Speak up for this country. Speak up for the founding documents of this nation. This nation was founded right. Let's get back to the old ways. Tell the truth about the Muslims. Somebody says it's a peace-loving religion. Laugh about that one, then start asking, okay, what religion bombed the trade centers 10, 12 years ago? Who did that one? Okay. Who's the ones that did the trade? Who did this? You know, start naming them. Who's killing Christians right now over there? What's going to happen in America if America becomes Muslim as they want? You and I are dead ducks. That's what the Quran says to do. Jihad, fight for their system. Lie, steal, cheat, do what you got to do. Okay, so the Lord wants to say something. Now, what happens if we don't? Verse 17, for nothing is secret. It shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known come abroad. Verse 18, take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, okay, the guy's got some light, to him shall be given. You got light, Lord's going to give you more light. Boy, that's a blessing. Lord's going to give you more light. But if you don't use the light, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. And if you look at it from an investment viewpoint, if a man has an investment in company A, another man, he's got an investment in company B, he's got an investment in company C, and he's watching the stock go up or down, and he's got money in B here, and the stock in this one is going down out of sight. It's just going down, going down, going down. He's going to take from that and give to one that's going up. And the Lord's the same way. The Lord is investing in all of us. At the moment we got saved, we were sealed and secured for heaven. Now the Lord's investing in all of us so that we can help other people be reconciled to God. And he gives us light. Okay, then he says, okay, well, you knew that light, young man. Well, I'm going to give this light, tell it to somebody else. I'm going to show this light to somebody else. He says, well, that's good. Now I'm going to give you some more light. What are you going to do with that one? Well, I'm going to give that, show it to somebody else. Why? Why do I want to show it to them? To show them my great intellect? Well, that's easy to not have to show. Why do I want to show it to them? Because the light draws me closer to my God. And if I'm closer to my God, he wants somebody else to be closer to him. And so that pleases God. Look, if you would, in Psalms 119, verse 171. Basically, there are two steps to this process when a man gets light. Psalms 119, verse 171. Psalms 119, 171. He says, my lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Okay, the first thing we got to do when we learn something in the Bible is learn a truth and it's understandable to us. First thing we got to do is thank God for it. He doesn't have to reveal it to us. I mean, he kept something hid for 4,000 years and he decided to reveal it to a man named Paul. He hid it for 4,000 years. He could have hid it for another couple thousand. I believe there's still some things hid in this book that he hasn't revealed. It's an eternal book. Okay, there's the first step. The second one is, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Okay, the first one is we thank God for what he's revealed to us. The second one, we show others what he revealed to us. Now, obviously, when you show others what God revealed to you, most don't care. But God in heaven cares. And when he sees that, then he says, well, looky there. I'm going to give him more light. It gives you more light. Man, you got to say something. Look, if you would, in Proverbs 19. It's about 27, what I'm thinking of. Proverbs 19. He says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. There's where he says, consider what you hear. Another proverb that says, he that heareth speaketh constantly. Heareth from what? Heareth from God. And the Lord wants us to give his light out. And the idea is the Lord says, you and I, if we don't use what we have, we're going to lose it. And if we don't use and stand up for the rights that we have been entrusted with in our country, we're going to lose them. And the same goes with the Christian life. If we don't use what God has already entrusted with us, we're going to lose it. That's what Luke chapter 8. So he's telling us, take heed how you hear. What is our highest motive to hear the truth? Is so that we can find out what God believes, get in line with what he believes, and have fellowship with him. That's the highest motive. Take heed how you hear. Okay, we're going to stop here. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to take heed what we hear, and I pray you'd help us to take heed how we hear. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be very logical in our thinking, very open to the truth. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to have a heart that wants to completely understand the truth in many areas. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take heed what we hear and to take heed how you hear. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano plays, the altar's open if you need it. The Lord said, take heed how ye hear. It's approaching the Bible with fear, fear and trembling. Isaiah 66, fear and trembling. It's willing to be able to change your beliefs to match the Bible. A Bible believer is nothing more than somebody who changes his beliefs to match the Bible. Other folks, most folks, change the Bible to match their beliefs. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to be sincere students of this blessed book. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to always be Bible believers. Believe this book, change our beliefs to match the Word of God, and never be guilty of the sin of changing the Word of God to match our personal opinions, prejudices, our beliefs. In Jesus' name, amen.